Good morning. Well, there's like four of you that are awake. Good morning. That's a little better. All right. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for being here today. We are so grateful that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. And when you came in this morning, if you received a welcome packet, inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment and fill that out and either drop it in the offering plate or leave it at the information table out here in the foyer, that would be so helpful. Hopefully you also and everybody else along with you received a bulletin, and if so, take it out and let's kind of go through some of the things. There is no Sunday school today because we are having a Super Bowl activity this afternoon. And so you'll see on their Super Bowl party at 4:30 p.m. That's what time kickoff is. And so if you get here at 4:40, you might have missed the kickoff. And so, but we're asking you to bring snacks. We're asking you to bring your own soda to be able to drink, and it'll be a great time. So start arriving here prior to kickoff, and let's just have a great time. Now, I've had people say to me, Pastor, I would like to come to the Super Bowl thing, but I'm not into football. Last year at our Super Bowl party, we had more conversations going on than we had people watching the game. And that's fine. That is just fine. So if you just want to come and just talk to those that are here, that's great as well. All right. Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch at Terry's Cafe. This is right at noon. Terry's Cafe is on Fairview, just west of Eagle. It used to be called Steve's Cafe, and I can tell you the story about why it's no longer called Terry's Cafe, but you don't need to hear that. So just know that it's Terry's Cafe, just west of Eagle on Fairview. And we'll be meeting there for lunch at 12 p.m. Now, JOY, for those of you who don't know, stands for Just Older Youth. But you don't have to be old in order to come and enjoy lunch. If you have the time available, we'd love to have you just come and join with us. Thursday night at Awana is Patriotic Night, and that's going to be a really, really good time. There is a ton of announcements here in the bulletin. Ladies, there are some announcements just for you. We are looking for someone who would be willing to facilitate the prayer chain. If that's something that you think you would like to do, please see me and we can talk a little bit more about that. Church directories, the updated ones, one copy has been put in your mailbox. And so please, if you haven't checked your mailbox for quite a while, please do so now. And you'll find your one in there. We last week talked about new grandparents in our church, Charles and Lori Allen. And we got a text this morning from their son, Evan, and their grandson, Levi, the new one, the little one, the only one that they have, is experiencing a little bit of jaundice. And so he's doing really well, but they just wanted us to pray for them, for Levi. So add Levi to your prayer request list, and I know that they would be happy. I see Charles and Lori aren't here, but I know they have pictures. So if you see them, tackle them and say, show me pictures of the little guy. And they will be more than happy to be able to do that. Oh, also, new Daily Bread devotional booklets are out on the table. They start in March. So they're out there on the table now. So stop by the table, pick one of those up for the coming quarter. All right, I think that's all the announcements. You ready to worship? Ready to lift your voices in praise? Ready to hear God's word in a little bit, preach to you? Ready to give? Ready to go? All right, let's go, Jared.
Would you all stand with me for this first song? As we sing this morning, I hope you will worship. Don't let people, don't let the Super Bowl, don't let Facebook get in the way of you worshiping God right now in this moment. We have just a few minutes together to lift him up, so let's lift him up together. We sing Mighty to Save. Start. Everyone needs compassion. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. And now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Whoa, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And He is mighty to save. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Thank you, Jesus. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning, that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope. Give the Lord a round of applause if he's your living hope today. Come on. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus, our Savior, who is mighty to save, who bridged that gap between us, Lord. Thank you, God, for moving mountains for our sake. Lord, thank you for separating us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Lord, we worship you today and we sing hallelujah, praise Yahweh. Praise the one who set me free. Lord, we worship you today because you're worthy. We worship you today because of who you are. We worship you today because you're good. We worship you. Amen. Please be seated. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. Life into my soul. can spin the world around and hold me ever close. Who can search the depths of me and love me to the core? Who controls the world I see and walks me through it all? No one but you. Thank you for being trustworthy, Jesus. No one but you. Who has made the righteous bright? Who has paved my way with grace? Loved me through my darkest hours a thousand different ways. No. Can't get enough. I just want you. The Lord of my soul, the King of my heart, Jesus, it's you. I'll sing of your love. I can't get enough. I just want you. The Lord of my soul, the King of my heart, Jesus, it's you. Lord, we worship you today because you're worth it. Cry of my heart this morning, God, is to say you're worth it. You're worth living my life for. You're worth surrendering all to. Lord, help us. Help us to live for you. Give us strength to do it. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And you alone. Amen. Ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and if you're visiting with us, please don't feel obligated to give. Give because you worship. Give because he's worth it. Amen. Give because God is good. Give because God is blessed. You gave your life in place of mine. You called me your own. You brought me to life. Now my life's not my life. It belongs to you. I belong to you. You alone. You are worthy of all my praise. You. You alone. You're the one I live for. You. You alone. You are worthy of all my praise. You, you alone, you're the one I live for. Left on my own, I never know the beauty and or see the story unfold. How you brought us to life. Now your life is our life. We are one in you. We belong to you. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. I am not my own. I'm yours alone. I am not my own. I am not my own. I'm yours alone. I am not my own. I am not my own. I'm yours alone. I am not my own. Yeah, I am not my own. I'm yours alone. I'm yours alone. You're the one I live for.
You're the one I live for.
You're the one I live for. You're the
one you live for. If you belong to him, he has a mission for you. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Are you ready? Yeah, some of you are. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Is it a good morning? Okay. It's going to get better? Yeah? All right. Yeah, we're going to children's church, Pastor. It's going to get lots better. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful that as we believe in you as Savior, we belong to you. And nothing or no one can ever change that. For that we are so grateful this morning. And so, Father, I pray that the eyes of our hearts will be focused on you. Father, I pray that the ears of our mind will be focused on your word. Father, show us yourself. Father, tell us those things that you want us to know. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. Continuing on in our study of the book of Acts that we started last week. And as we began our series in the book of Acts last Sunday, we said that we were going to focus on God's mission for us. There's a lot of things that we can get sidetracked in. There's a lot of things that we can turn our attention to as we study the book of Acts. But my goal is to be able to stay in the lane of focusing on God's mission. How God accomplished the mission. How Jesus accomplished the mission that he had after for us as he ascended into heaven. And God's mission, are you ready for this? Spoiler alert. Involves witnesses. Got that? If you don't walk away with anything else today, walk away with that. God's mission involves witnesses. Now, what's a witness? A witness is someone who speaks from personal experience about what is true. It's not what they think. It's not what they hope. It's not what they dream. It is what is true. So if that's really the case, let's turn that around to the spiritual realm. How are you doing about telling people the truth about Jesus? Because you see, if we believe in Jesus as Savior, as we're going to say over and over again this morning, we are to be His witnesses. We're to be involved in His mission. There's no negotiation there. There's no bargaining there. There's no reasoning away the fact that God has, if we believe in Him as Savior, God desires for us to be His witnesses. Now, a trustworthy witness reports what was personally seen, heard, and in some cases, experienced. And in order to establish the truthfulness of something, there are six questions that are usually asked. And these six questions are called reporter's questions. When, who, how, what, where, and why. So a witness is someone who will testify when something happened. Who was involved? How it unfolded? What happened? Where it took place? And why they think it had happened. Now, I'm going to have a confession for you this morning. I've not been in a courtroom very many times in my life because I've tried hard, my hardest, to stay out of trouble, to not that make that a place that I want to go. And no matter how hard I tried, there was one time that I went to court because I got into trouble. You know what I did? I was driving in the town that I pastored in Central Washington with expired license plates. I know, high crime, right? Lock me in prison, throw away the key. I deserved everything that I did. Now, the cool thing about this was that at the time, Becky and I were renting a house on the outskirts of town that belonged to the judge in town. Actually, it belonged to her parents. And we were just caretakers. They lived in another city not too far away from where we were living, and they had bought this house, which was right behind their daughter and son-in-law's house, and they needed somebody to live in that house until they were ready to sell the farm where they were at and move to this house. And so we were just basically caretakers. And so we rented from the judge in town. So I had a personal relationship with the judge. So when the officer writes me the ticket, he says, this is the date that you will go and see the judge. And I wanted to tell him, no, I'll probably see the judge before that. Cross the back fence. In fact, I told my kids that the only time I ever wanted to see them talking to the judge was across the back fence. I didn't want them to go to the place she worked, which was the courthouse. Did not want them to go and see her in operation. But guess who ended up having to do that? So on my court date, I showed up at court, and there was a lot of people there, and this person from her office brings in this stack of file folders, right? And so the judge is working through the file folders, and then every now and then she tells something to the person, and the person moves some of the file folders down a little bit. And it took me a little while to figure out what was going on, but as my folder made its way to the top, she would push it to the bottom again. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then it dawned on me. She wants an audience between me and her with no one else around, okay? This is not going to be good, I don't think, right? And so it was clear I was the Baptist preacher in town, okay? And it was a small town, so everybody knew everybody. By knowing everybody, you knew everybody's business, right? Okay? So anyway, I sat there and I watched her do her thing, and we moved from folder to folder to folder, and then she gets down to two folders, and she has this look of surprise on her face because she was now at this point only supposed to be down to one folder, and my folder happened to be on top. So she looks at this person that's been helping her, and she looks at me, and she looks at this person, she looks at me. She looks at the other people whose files she also has there. And so then she calls my name. So I go, and I stand in front of her, and she said, Mr. Tremaine, she said, do you understand why you're here? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, do you know why you're going to have to pay a fine? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you're going to rectify the fact that your license plates were expired? I said, I have already taken care of that, ma'am. There's no more issue with that. And so she said, okay. She said, on your way out, pay the clerk $20. So I said, okay. So I go out, and I think I paid her cash, $20 cash. And so I went home. So later on that day, I saw her outside, so I went outside to talk with her. And so then she tells me what her plan was. Her plan was to make sure that I was the last person there because she wasn't going to have me pay a fine because, you know, she knew me, and she knew it was an oversight. She knew that it wasn't something that I intentionally had done. And so as we're talking, she reaches in her pocket and she pulls out my $20 bill and gives it back to me. And so that was pretty cool. That's the only time I've ever been in trouble enough to have to go to court. And God was gracious, and so was the judge. But you know, there were people there for a lot of other things worse than I did, and they had to testify who, what, when, where, and why, and how. And each of these six questions come to light here in Acts chapter 1, especially verses 6 through 11. So hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 1. So turn in your Bibles and let's look at verses 6 through 11. Follow along as I read it. So when they had come together, who's the they? The disciples. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Now, we are commissioned to be a witness where we are. Luke has written this account of what happened right before Jesus ascended into heaven. What Jesus' words were to those that were there listening of what his last words should be before he ascended into heaven. We are commissioned to be a witness where we are. We, as believers, need to be a part of God's mission. Now, God's mission has several parts to it, and it needs several things, and we're going to look at each one of those parts, and we're going to look at each one of those needs. First, the mission needs perspective. The mission needs perspective. If you're taking notes, that's number one. The mission needs perspective. One of the first things a witness establishes is when something took place. Now, even though the disciples were focused on the future, Jesus wanted them to be fully focused on the present. You know, as human beings, we would rather want to know what's going on tomorrow than to live in today, right? I've had people tell me over and over again, if I only knew the future. And I would say to them, God doesn't want you to know the future. Because if he told you everything that was going to happen to you tomorrow, you wouldn't get out of bed. You just, when the sun comes up, you just throw the covers up over your head and said, yeah, not today. Maybe tomorrow will be better. But maybe tomorrow won't be better. So you really don't want to know the future. Because if you know the future, then you know what? You don't trust God. You see, if we know everything about God is doing, then our trust isn't as strong as God desires for us to be. Remember what it says in Proverbs? trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You see, if you understood everything, you wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't trust. God doesn't want you to understand. He wants you to trust. So that even though the disciples were focused on the future, Jesus wanted them to be fully focused on the present. We see this in verses 6 and 7. So when they had come together, when the disciples were together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They were all about wanting Jesus to be able to establish Israel as one of the great civilizations of all time. As great as the Egyptians were, as great as the Greeks were, as great as the Romans were, as great as the Persians were, as great as the Babylonians were, they were waiting for Jesus to be able to do this. And what did Jesus say? It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now the tense, if you read this tense of this question of the disciples in the Greek, it indicates they were asking about the timing of the kingdom over and over again. Now, sometimes we find fault with the disciples, like, you know, why didn't they get this? Jesus had just died on the cross, had just been buried and placed in a borrowed tomb, and then rose again on the third day. That happened 40 days before this time of Jesus getting ready to ascend back to the Father. Why didn't they get this? But you know what? I think for the disciples, this was really a natural question. Because when Jesus was here, he talked about the kingdom over and over and over again. So their question actually portrayed a strong trust in Jesus and in his sovereignty, who one day in the future, will rule and reign as king over his kingdom. Jesus is not the ruler yet. The first time he came to be the Savior. The second time he comes, he's coming to be a ruler. And the first part of his rule and reign here on earth is going to be for 1,000 years. And it's going to be from Jerusalem. It's called the millennium, by the way. You might have heard that. Okay? Now, there are Bible teachers, there are preachers who want you to believe that we are in the kingdom today. That is not a biblical truth. The kingdom is yet to come. The kingdom is coming. When will the kingdom come? It'll come 7 years after Jesus comes and meets us in the clouds. 7 years after that, then Jesus is going to ride from the Battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo outside of Israel. He's going to ride into Jerusalem on his white horse. And from that moment on, for 1,000 years, he's going to establish his kingdom here on earth. He's going to establish his rule and his reign. The kingdom is yet to come. You're not living in the kingdom right now. The kingdom is not what we're at. If we're in the kingdom now, man. I'm glad it's yet to come, aren't you? Because it's going to be better. Jesus' kingdom is going to be better than anything we're facing right now. But we're not in the kingdom. He's not established the kingdom here on earth yet. It is yet to come. And notice that Jesus doesn't rebuke them for their question, but instead lovingly redirects them. He doesn't say, I thought you guys had got this. I thought we settled this. I thought for sure that you finally come to understand that the kingdom is yet to come. No, he didn't do any of that. What did he do? He lovingly redirects their focus. And he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that God has fixed by his authority. When it's time for you to know, you will know. When it's time for you to know, everybody will know. It's not time for you to be able to know at this particular time. He tells them they don't need to know about the timing because the time now is for them to take up the mission that Jesus has for them. And it's not a kingdom mission. It's a gospel message mission. Not only does the mission need perspective, the mission needs people. The disciples' outlook for their near future was locked into when God was going to bring about his kingdom. And in the first part of verse 8, we see Jesus telling them, that's not what God has for you right now. God has something different for you right now. And he tells them how he was going to accomplish this mission of the gospel. He says, but you. Now, the word but is a term that suggests a change of direction. You see, they wanted to talk about prophecy, but Jesus wanted them to focus on proclamation. And then the word you shows that this is a personal command for every trustworthy of disciple of Jesus. Was this what the disciples were supposed to do after Jesus ascended into heaven? Yes. Over 2,000 years later, is this what we as disciples of Jesus are supposed to do? Yes. The mission hasn't changed. All the people have changed, but the mission itself has not changed. A preacher of old once said, it's God's mission to get the word of God out to the world, and it's up to us to join him in that mission. I like that. Verse 8 contains the last recorded statement of Jesus in the Bible. This final command must become our focus because Jesus continues his work today through individuals and the church. The church is what Jesus is using to continue his mission. And when we talk about the church, as we talked about last week, we're not talking about a building. We're talking about the people. The people who make up the church. As that relates to us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we're talking about you. We're talking about me. We're talking about all of us who have gathered here this morning that believe in Jesus as Savior, who understand that God has given us as his trustworthy disciples a mission, and it's a mission of the gospel. The church is what Jesus is using to continue his mission, and we are commissioned to be a witness where we are. Where are you this morning? You're at Lake Hazel Bible Church. In where? Boise, Idaho. So you are commissioned to be a witness in the place where you are. Not only does the mission need perspective, and not only does the mission need people, the mission needs power. Jesus told them they were the people he wanted to use, and he also told them how he was going to accomplish his mission. He tells them that in the second part of verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The promised Holy Spirit would give them everything they needed to do all that they were called and commissioned by Jesus to do. Now, the word power is used 10 times in the book of Acts, and it is the Greek word dunamis, from which we get dynamic, dynamo, and dynamite. Whoa. You see, with the Holy Spirit's power, we can be the dynamic, the dynamos, the dynamite that God wants to use and needs to use to be able to accomplish the mission. Acts 4:31 tells us what happened when the followers of Jesus were given the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. What gave them the boldness? Their intelligence? Nope. Their abilities? Nope. What gave them the boldness? The Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Howard Hendricks said this, it's not you are going to be witnesses and then receive power, but the other way around. You are going to receive power, the result of which is you are going to be witnesses. You don't have to wait to be a witness for the power. You've already been given the power. Now, take the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you and be the witnesses that God has commissioned you to be able to be. Notice it's not if the Holy Spirit will come upon them, it's when he does. Now, this phrase, has come, is in the aorist tense in the Greek, which indicates the Spirit's coming is going to be a historic event. Now, when did the Holy Spirit come? The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And even today, the Holy Spirit still comes. And he comes immediately with God's salvation for eternal life for every believer in Jesus as Savior. When you believed in Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit came upon you. It's not a second act of grace. It is not a different spiritual discipline. There are those who want you to believe that. The moment that you believe in Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to you. And you know what? The same Holy Spirit that came to me when I believed in Jesus as Savior and came to those who were sitting around you when they came to believe in Jesus as Savior is the same Holy Spirit that came to them when God said it was time for the Holy Spirit to be able to come. This is so important because without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. Without his help, we are helpless. Without the Holy Spirit's strength, we're afraid. But with his power, we can do what God has commissioned us to do. We are commissioned to be a witness where we are. The mission needs a plan. In the next part of verse 8, we see what the disciples are called to be. And you will be my witnesses. Now, the interesting thing about these words of Jesus is that it's both a command and a commission. So let's look a little deeper at the phrase, and you will be my witnesses. You see, when we look at this phrase and we take it a little bit deeper, it's more about being and less about doing. Whoa. How many of you I just lost? It's more about being than it is about doing. You see, we're to be witnesses, which is more than just doing the task, just doing the obligation of being a witness. Jesus doesn't say, you shall do, but rather he says, you shall be. We're not only to witness, but we are also to be witnesses. Simply stated another way, you are already a witness. So if that's the case, the question is, what is your witness communicating? There's two things to consider here. What are people seeing when they take a close look at your life? What kind of a witness are you? Jesus said, you will be my witness. You will be my witness. Now, he doesn't say, you will be my witness when it's easy. You'll be my witness when the people around you want to live in a way that is spiritual, wants to talk conversations that are spiritual. Oh, when it's easy. That's when I want you to be a witness. When it gets a little bit hard, yeah, not so much. I don't have that expectation. No, the expectation's always the same. You will be my witness. As a believer in Jesus, there is not a time when we are not to be a witness. That doesn't necessarily mean we use our lips always to be a witness. We can use our character. We can use our talents. We can use our ability. We can take those opportunities to be able to be the witness that God says he wants us to be. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. Now, there are two meanings of this instruction. First, we are witnesses about Jesus as we report his work of God's redemption in our lives. Second, We are witnesses of Jesus, meaning we belong to him. Didn't we just sing a song like that this morning? And are sent out to be his ambassadors. What's an ambassador? It's a witness. What's an ambassador? It's a representative. We are not only to talk about Jesus, we are to live our lives in such a way that people are drawn to help us talk about Jesus. You see, a witness is one who has seen and heard. Go back to those six reporters' questions. A witness is one who has seen and heard and experienced the transforming power of Jesus in their life. The word witness is found 29 times in the book of Acts. And yes, we're going to probably focus on every single one of those. Let's start by focusing on a couple. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 says, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are," what's the word? Witnesses. Acts chapter 10, verse 39, "And we are witnesses of all that Jesus did." Acts 22, 15, "For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard." Now you might be sitting here this morning and you might be going, "Okay, Pastor, I get it. I get it. I'm commissioned as a believer. I'm commissioned as a trustworthy disciple of Jesus to be a witness. But I don't know everything that the Bible has to say. I don't like talking in front of people." Let me give you something to chew on. You don't have to be an eloquent evangelist or a persuasive preacher. And you know what? Sometimes it's more effective if you're not. You understand that, right? That you can reach people in your sphere of influence that as a eloquent evangelist and a persuasive preacher, I will never be able to reach. I will never be able to communicate. I will never, ever be able to be a witness to them. Why? Because I don't run in the same circles as you do. I don't live in the same neighborhood as you do. I don't work in the same place. I don't shop in the same places that you shop. I can only shop at Winco. So you rub shoulders with a whole lot of other people that I don't. So you don't have to be an eloquent evangelist. You don't have to be a persuasive preacher. Our job is not to be prosecutors or defense attorneys. We're not to take the message of the gospel and hammer it into people. That's not our job. Our job is what? To tell. Our job is what? To live as a trustworthy disciple. To live as the commissioned witness that God and Jesus has commissioned us to be. Our work is simply to be witnesses who report what we have experienced and know to be true. Do you believe in Jesus as Savior? Was there a time when you were away from Jesus, you didn't know him as Savior, and then you heard a message or you heard somebody talk about the gospel or you saw somebody who had a different life than you did, and you said to that person, "What's going on with you? What makes you different? I don't have what it is that you have." And that person has said, "You can. All you got to do is believe in Jesus as Savior." And you went, "Could have had a V8. Some of you will get that during the Super Bowl, and that'll be fine. All being a witness and following the commission that God has given us is telling what it is that we know. Listen, there was once when I was away from Jesus. But then I heard about the fact that he loved me so much that he came to this earth. And that he went to the cross. And on that cross he died to be my Savior. And at that moment I believed in Jesus as Savior. And you know what? You can too. It's not a difficult thing for us to be able to do. A good definition of a witness is this: a witness is anyone who cooperates with the Holy Spirit in telling others about Jesus as you have the opportunity to. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you. This part of doing God's mission, not always easy. Not always easy. Because sometimes there are people we don't like that God brings across our path. And then the Holy Spirit is saying, "Tell them about Jesus." And you're going, "No, I don't even like this person. Tell them about Jesus. No, you don't understand. Me and this person, we don't get along. Tell them about Jesus. Sometimes it's not easy to do. Sometimes the words don't always come out the way that we want them to come out. Can I give you something to hold on to? Whatever the results of you being the witness that God has commissioned you to be, whatever those results are, aren't up to you. They're up to the Holy Spirit. Whoa. That takes all the pressure off. You mean all I got to do is tell? All I got to do is live my life in such a way that people will see Jesus in me? And whatever they decide to do with it, that's between them and the Holy Spirit. Wow. That just takes all the pressure off of it. But it's not easy to do. But nonetheless, we are commissioned to be a witness where we are. The mission also needs a place. The last part of verse 8, Jesus makes it clear where he wants his witnesses to witness. He tells them, and he tells us, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. While Jesus wanted the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit and then to be his witnesses there, Jesus never intended the message of the gospel to stop in Jerusalem. In the same way for us today, we're to start in our neighborhoods and then move out to the areas around us. It's not an either or, but a both and. Because we're responsible to reach all four areas. Our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and throughout the whole earth. You see, Jerusalem, this was the Jewish capital, and this is where the gospel was to be presented first. Then Judea, since most of the Israelites who returned from the exile were from the tribe of Judah, they were called Jews, and their land, Judea. And in New Testament times, Judea made up the southern portion of Israel. Samaria, this area to the north of Jerusalem, was where the hated half-breed Samaritans lived. Jesus is speaking to Jews who wouldn't even walk through Samaria, much less witness about Jesus there. But I'm reminded of John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus is with his disciples, and they're getting ready to take a journey. And Jesus said, I have to go to Samaria. And I'm sure that when Jesus spoke those words, those disciples went, are you crazy? You got to go where? To Samaria. Don't you understand, Jesus, that no Jew goes to Samaria? We don't like the Samaritans. In fact, the Samaritans don't like us because we don't like them. And no Jew in their right mind would go to Samaria purposely. But Jesus said, what? I need to go to Samaria. Why did he need to go to Samaria? Because there was a Samaritan woman that Jesus needed to what? Tell the message of the gospel to. There was a Samaritan woman that Jesus himself had been commissioned to what? Be a witness to. And when he was done having this conversation with the Samaritan woman went back to the people in her village in Samaria. And remember what she said? She said, you've got to come see this. You've got to come hear this man. You've got to come experience what it is that I've just experienced as I've had a conversation with this man. He witnessed to me about all that I'd ever done in my life. And then he witnessed to me about himself. And the people started coming from Samaria, and they started listening to Jesus. And later on in chapter 4, it says the people of Samaria began to believe in Jesus as Savior. Are there people you don't get along with that need to hear the message of the gospel? Are there people you don't like? Are there people that you don't even tolerate that need to hear the message of Jesus come to be the Savior of the world? I'm reminded that we're to take the gospel to all people, even to people we may not like. And then the end of the earth. at the time that Jesus gives this instruction, Rome was considered the farthest part of the world, and Rome was only 1,400 miles from Jerusalem. When the gospel message came to Rome, it had traveled to the ends of the earth. That tells us we're to cross all regional, cultural, linguistic, and geographical barriers to share the message of the gospel, that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. You know, we just had some people in our church live this out in their lives. We had two girls, two young ladies, go to Uganda for 4 months to what? Be the witnesses that God commissioned them to be. The ideal is this: Jerusalem is our community. Judea is our county. Samaria is our country. And then the ends of the earth includes all the continents. Now you might be saying, you know, Pastor, I don't know that I can do this countywide. I don't know that I can do this nationwide. I don't even know that I can do this throughout the whole earth. You know, God has commissioned others to go to those places around the earth. We have an opportunity as a church to be able to support them financially and to support them, more importantly, in prayer for them to go and be the witnesses in the place where Jesus has commissioned them to be a witness. We are commissioned to be a witness where we are. And then the mission needs a promise. Jesus tells us why we're to be his witnesses to our neighbors and to the nations. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." As the disciples are locked onto what is happening to Jesus, as they watch gravity break its own law, and he is lifted up into a cloud. Now, this was not a fluffy cumulus cloud, but rather the glory cloud that surrounded the very presence of Jesus. And God's word gives us the promise that Jesus will come back in the same way he ascended. How was that? Personally, visibly, and gloriously. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 said, "Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep or died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive," don't miss this, "then we who are alive and are left will be caught up together to meet them in the" where? Clouds. How did Jesus ascend to heaven? In the clouds. "And we will meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back the same way that he ascended into heaven. He's coming back in the clouds. That's the next thing on God's timetable. It's going to happen. Could it happen today? You bet it can. Are you waiting for that? You know, some of us, we just keep looking for the signs of the times. I'm not looking for the signs of the times anymore. I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet. Because it could be today that Jesus comes. How? In the clouds. How do we know that to be true? Because what did the angel say to the disciples? This same Jesus. This Jesus. Not a different one. Not a different Christ. Not a different Savior. This Jesus is coming back just as you saw him leave. He's coming back in the clouds. And it could be today. The meaning of Jesus' instruction is clear from the angels. Instead of staring upward, start sharing to those around you. Start sharing to those around you. Sharing what? That Jesus went to the cross so that they could have a Savior. And that Jesus is coming in the clouds, just like he ascended into heaven. You see, we're to be involved in his mission while we wait for Jesus to appear in the clouds. We're to be involved in his mission until he appears in the clouds. When's he going to appear? We don't know. So we better be about what? The mission that he's commissioned us to. How do we make Jesus' instruction our priority? Well, we grow towards spiritual maturity. We be a trustworthy disciple, and we be a blessing to others because we are commissioned to be a witness where we are. So I want you to pray this prayer on a daily basis. God, who can I bless today? Who can I bless today by sharing the message of the gospel, of helping them to be able to see you and to be able to know you, or maybe to know you better? Because you see, God's mission is possible as he uses you and he uses me. Father, I'm so thankful that you showed us this morning that your mission is possible. And it's possible as you use us. But Father, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to focus on your mission. We have to be willing to be involved in your mission. We have been given a commission to be your witnesses right here where we are. Father, help us. Help us to be the witnesses that you desire for us to be. Help us to be the disciples, the trustworthy disciples that you desire for us to be. May we be witnesses where we are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah, your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. We'll see you this afternoon for the party. Have a great day in the name of our Lord.